God's word for the young people in Israel. Since this is somewhat of a first of the year sermon, I'm going to make it as a message of exhortation and teaching to those of us who are a little older as to a responsibility we should really begin to think about this coming year and for the years ahead. Most of you know that you have, as you go around to some of the Kingdom Identity Ministries and even the conferences, sometimes it's a little discouraging because of the preponderance of the gray-headed people and the white-haired people. Not that we don't love every one of them, and the pastor's kind of halfway in between here, so I can speak to both of you. But it is true that for many years we have neglected, to some extent, the young people of America, with the result that this ministry has drawn more of the older people and fewer of the younger people. We haven't had a real good youth program. So let's go back to the last verses of Matthew again, where we just had somewhat of a study on these, the Great Commission. Jesus Christ said in verse 18 through 20, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Very simple, very direct, very easily understood command to the believers that they were to teach all other people the Christian truth and the truth of Jesus Christ. Then immediately in the next gospel, on the same page in most Bibles, we read this: "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Apparently, a very definite, specific thing that God did. He had a messenger go before the first advent of Jesus, and his work was to prepare his way before him, prepare the way of the Lord, and make his path straight. Now, in verse 4, this is identified as John the Baptist. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. We have studied this in some detail before, and we've shown you that John the Baptist only partially fulfilled the great Elijah ministry given in the very last verses of the Old Testament. This is in Malachi chapter 4, the very last thing we find in the Old Scriptures, which I believe are literally a prophecy which must be understood to understand the New Scriptures. And all of the rest of the verses and passages I'm going to read this morning are going to be in the New Testament. But here is a promise, verse 5 and 6, Malachi 4. "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." And we know that John the Baptist partially fulfilled that he did part of this work, and apparently it involved in preparing the way of the Lord and making his path straight. Now, if there's any connection between Malachi 4, verses 5 and 6, and the complete age before the coming of Jesus the second time, we know from the previous study that John the Baptist did or carried out a partial fulfillment at the first coming of Jesus. There must be a greater fulfillment before the beginning of the kingdom itself. And so, along with this knowledge of a partial fulfillment, we must accept this statement of Jesus: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." So teach all of these things of Jesus. And of course, John the Baptist was referred to having prepared the Lord's way, prepared his path, and made his path straight. Now, the Greek word straight here is euthus, and it means straight or level or true, the implication being that it's something easy to follow, a straight path. It doesn't turn off this way or that way. It doesn't go up and down. And it doesn't have pitfalls in the paths. And this preparation, if it is to be done according to the way it is written in Malachi and here in the Gospel of Mark and also in Matthew, it is going to have to be done or completed before Jesus returns the second time. Now, I know that there is a lot of preaching today that tells us, well, everything is going to get worse and worse and worse, and nothing is going to get better until Jesus returns. But here he tells us he had a special messenger, prophecy given about Elijah, partially fulfilled in John the Baptist, that there was a preparation, or there was to be a preparation before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. Turn to Matthew 14, and we'll read some references to this path, which is called truth, or a true or a straight path. Matthew 14 and verse 33, Jesus has walked on the water and Peter attempted. And then after this is over, it says in verse 33, "Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Matthew 15, starting in verse 22, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Now here is a non-Israelite coming to Jesus. "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Jesus said in answer, I have come specifically to Israel. Then came she," in other words, this non-Israelite woman, "then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs." And you know that in the Scripture, non-Israelites are often called dogs. "And she said, Truth, Lord." In other words, she agreed that this was true. Jesus had come to Israel, and this was the children's bread. "And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Here is another truth. Jesus came to Israel, but non-Israelites can believe and be blessed in Jesus. Turn to John, the first chapter. The entire book of John, of course, is a tremendous testimony that Jesus Christ was the truth. John 1, verse 14 reads, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." Turn to John 14 and verse 6. "Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So here is Jesus' plain statement, which is verified in scores of passages in the epistles, that Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father God, to the Creator. John 17. Jesus is praying here for the disciples, and we believe that if we are disciples, then this prayer would be for us. The same prayer Jesus prayed for them would be for us. Verse 6, "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Verse 14, "I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." In verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." So we found that Jesus is truth, and here Jesus says to the Father that God's word is truth. John 18, Jesus is before Pilate, And in verse 37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. And then Jesus says what he is. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So here are two other plain doctrines of the New Testament, that Jesus came to bear witness to the truth, and that those who are of the truth will hear his word, in other words, will hear the word of God. So let's go back to Mark 1 again, and think on Elijah's work here, or the Elijah ministry work, this ministry that was to take place in preparing the way of the Lord. In verse 2 and 3 it says, As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Or his way straight. Make it true. So let's just recap briefly the few things that I've just read. Truths in the gospel. Make his way truth. Okay, here are some truths. Number one, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Number two, Jesus came to Israel, but others who believe that he came to Israel can be blessed in Jesus. Number three, Jesus brought truth. Number four, Jesus is the only way anyone can come to the Father. Number five, Jesus taught God's word, which is truth. Number six, Jesus witnessed by his life and death to that truth. And number seven, those who are of the truth will hear Jesus. Now, to summarize that, you might say, in effect, that Jesus Christ is the Word of Truth, and Jesus came to Israel that both Israel and others might believe this Word of Truth. In other words, very briefly, Christianity is the only true religion. How about that for a summary? You know, we are always, to some extent, on the defensive. We keep saying, well, now we have this truth and we want to preach this truth and so on. We do not really realize, I believe, sometimes in our heart that the truth of this Bible is the only true religion in the world. And every other religion that is based on anything except this Bible is falsehood. It is untruth. There is only one true religion. Now, one thing that many of you will find as you study things such as I mentioned here just briefly on this book, The Christian History of the American Revolution, The Christian History of the Constitution, many of our founding fathers writing about religion often used just the term religion. And what they meant was Christianity. They did not say, well, we're going to have this religion, but you can have that one, and we'll allow freedom for another. When they said freedom of religion, they meant freedom of Christianity, because in their mind, there was no other religion. There is no other religion. Any other thing called a religion is a false thing. It is a deception. And the sooner we learn that, the sooner we learn that we have, if anything, the responsibility to teach Christianity as the one and only truth. We teach these truths. They are truth. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Now, here is a very familiar passage to most of you, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And great doctrines are built around that. They very seldom consider the next verse. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So Jesus Christ, the one true way to God Almighty, the one in whom we have faith, which makes us followers of the Christian religion, is the only way that can be taught to all of the world that they might be saved. There is only one religion that can be taught to the world that will save the world, and that's faith in Jesus Christ. And then he goes on. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Oh, that's why the whole world isn't Christian, isn't it? They love darkness. Their deeds are evil, therefore they do not want the truth, and yet we are commanded to teach them the truth, right? It almost seems as if God is giving us an impossible task. He says, you teach all the world the truth. He turns right around and says, well, they love darkness, therefore they won't have the truth. But he that doeth, for every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And here is another reason why some men do not believe the truth. Turn to Matthew 15. And this is perhaps the greater one in our civilization, or what we might call in Christendom. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. He answered and said unto them, why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? And here is one of the passages that tells us that there is something different than God's word, here called tradition. And they followed tradition, therefore they transgressed the word of God. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. And we know this is in the commandments. But ye say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. And that is a very strange passage, and sometimes hard to understand, so let's read the same one in Mark 7. For this same passage is recorded by Mark, where the Jewish Pharisees came to Jesus and asked the same question, implying that Jesus was violating something, and he said, no, you by your tradition are in violation of God's commandments. Mark 7, verse 5, then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders? Here it's given the name, not just tradition, but tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands. And he answered them, and then he also said, from verse 9 to 13, and he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Remember, we've already read, Jesus said, their deeds were evil, therefore they turned away from the light. Now here Jesus is saying to the Jewish Pharisees, you reject the commandment, or the word of God, and you turn to your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. You remember, this is in the law, that any child in Israel who cursed or struck his parents and rebelled against them was to be put to death. Jesus is repeating that. And then he says to the Pharisees, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother. The word Corban there, by the way, means a gift to the treasury. And that, of course, is the key. In other words, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you tell these young people that if they'll come in and give a gift to the treasury and follow the tradition of the elders, then they're free. They do not have to honor their father or their mother. And you know, we hear this in a thousand different ways in America today. We are told this literally on every side. Children must make up their own minds. We are told that we must give our children alternatives, and then they can choose whichever way seems right unto them. The parents and their ways are termed old-fashioned, and the children are told that we are fuddy-duddies, and that's the old way. And now there is a new and a better way. And there is a wedge being driven between the children of Israel and the parents in Israel. We see this in the movies, in magazines, in music, in newspapers, in everything that the children read, and even in church and school. And some of your children and your grandchildren, I know, have told you this. And you see it as an example. I'll show you how easily it is done right before our very eyes. For at least 20 years and more, I would guess closer to 50, the movies first and then television have these entertaining plays in which the father is usually shown to be somewhat of a fool, right? He's a bumbling idiot. He can't make a decision. He's always in trouble with his boss, or his wife has to straighten him out, or the kids have to correct things that the father has made in error. And we have had two generations of that kind of teaching. What is it? Children, don't worry about obeying your parents because, after all, they're kind of dumb anyway. Now, Jesus accused the Pharisees of telling the young people that if they gave a gift to the treasury, in other words, if they joined some religion, some faith, here called the tradition of the elders, they didn't have to follow their parents. This has gone so far today that the enemies of Christ and Christendom really distribute drugs in the land which alienate the minds of the children from their parents. And one man who is on our tape ministry has written a number of articles which were published in books by the James Hargis Organization, and he does do a few good things, on the modern rock music. And he has written extensively to show how the drum beat and the rhythm and the words of the modern rock music alienate children from their parents. That is the main thrust of that kind of thing. And when you boil this all down, what you find is that the Jewish Pharisees, apparently even in the time of Christ, had this thing down to the extent their main thrust was to alienate children from their parents. What does it mean? It means that the anti-God tradition of the elders is the opposite of God's truth. God's truth says, children, honor your father and your mother. The Antichrist says, children, you don't have to. You're free if you'll do some other thing, some other tradition, some other religion. And I think this is a truth in here that, of course, has been missed by many of the churches. And in fact, we even have the churches today going so far as telling young people that, well, if you come to Christ and you're saved and your parents are unsaved, then it's all right for you to leave your parents or turn away from your parents and so on. No, my friends, it is not. As a young person, if you believe you are saved, if your parents tell you not to do such and so, as long as you are under the age of 20, you are under your parents. That comes first. And Christianity does not teach in any way rebellion against parents. And as we go along here, we'll see how the enemy, the Antichrist, by using the tradition of the elders to turn the young people away from their fathers, have destroyed the effectiveness of God's word in Christendom. That one thing more than anything else. Now, here's another thing. Turn with me to John 8. We have another thing here giving us an explanation as to why some people do not believe in Jesus Christ. The Jewish Pharisees came to speak to Jesus Christ again. And read in verse 13, the Pharisees therefore said unto him, thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. So they accused Jesus' words of being false words. Jesus answered them. And we read this in verse 19. Then said they to him, where is my Father? Jesus answered, ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. Remember, we read, he said the children of God or the children of light would believe the word of truth. And he goes on in further condemnation. In verse 42, Jesus said to them, if I were your Father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? And here's the reason. Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. See the exact opposite here? Jesus is truth. The Word of God is truth. The devil has no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So here is the very opposite of Christ and Christianity. Jesus said to them that they would do the lusts of their father, and that would be the desires or the will. The thing which Satan wanted to do is what the Jewish Pharisees would do. And then in verse 45, "And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." Here is an absolute and total opposite. We read in John 18, verse 37, that everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. In other words, they hear Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew 15 and Mark 17 that false teaching can destroy the truth. And then he said here in verse 45 to the Jewish Pharisees, "Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not." So we have three things, and think on this. Number one, those who are of the truth, when they hear it, will believe it. Number two, false teachings, heard even by those who are of the truth, will destroy the effectiveness of the Word of God. In other words, even God's people Israel, who are of God, if they are taught false doctrines, will not know or believe the truth, because Jesus said, "Your traditions make the Word of God of non-effect." But there are also some who hear the truth, and because of their origin and their nature, when they hear the truth, they do not believe. So in the final analysis, we actually have two kinds of people. We have the kind of people who will believe the truth if they hear it, and we have the kind of people who will not believe the truth when they hear it. Now, I have a few other things here I should list. I realize this is maybe a little long and a little complicated, but I'm laying down some principles which we must understand if we are going to make our ministry effective in this nation and among our people. Jesus Christ and the Word of God are truth, and Christianity is the only true religion. Number two, the people of God will hear and believe God's truth when they hear it. Number three, there is a people not of God who will not hear God's Word because they cannot hear God's Word. Now let me repeat that. Some people think, well, if we could just preach the truth to everyone, they'll all hear. But Jesus said to the Jewish Pharisees, "The reason you don't believe me is because I preach the truth." In other words, they will believe only lies. And number four, there is also a way. And this is the tragedy of it, but this apparently is in God's purpose. There is a way in which false teachings, in other words, teachings against the commandment of God, will actually deceive and prevent God's people from believing. And I think that is what we have seen in America and the rest of Christendom. I think we have seen generations of the Antichrist coming into Christendom or being in Christendom among God's people and preaching their tradition, their falsehood, Satan's lies, and they have made the Word of God of none effect in Israel. It's a great tragedy, but of course, part of the problem lies with us, because we apparently have not done that which we were supposed to do. And this Elijah message, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, make his paths true." Now there is only one thing that can overcome falsehood, and that is the Word of God in truth. And Jesus told us this story in Matthew, and also here in Mark, about how the tradition of the elders made the Word of God of none effect, and remember who he said it had effect on. Young people. the lies of the Jewish Pharisees does not, to any great extent, deceive people when they are older. If they have heard the truth when they are young, and that's what the Bible tells us, if they have heard the truth when they are young, then the lies of the Antichrist will not deceive them when they're old. And we have been amiss, I believe, as kingdom identity people, in not spending more time and more effort and doing more praying about reaching God's young people. You know, some folks have written to me, and we were talking about this here some months ago, especially about the colleges and universities. And there are schools and colleges all over this land where 1,000 or 2,000 or 5,000 or 10,000 people congregate in one place to learn something. And they never see or hear a word of true Christian teaching. And they never see it when they're young. Now, we cannot depend upon their parents. And the simple reason is that we are now in the end of several generations of this. The present young generation does not even have parents who know the truth. They were deceived when they were young. And they have been turned into the tradition of the elders. The lies of the Antichrist. The things of deception which have turned them from the truth and have made the Word of God of none effect. And I believe the time is at hand when God's people, Israel, are going to have to spend their time, their money, and their effort in a greater way in reaching the young people before the truth is taken from them and before it's destroyed from them. Jesus said you have to believe as a little child. And there is a faith and there is an understanding in little children that I believe is God-given in this race of Israel, where they will understand and know and believe the truth if they hear it. Now, praise God for the radio, and praise God for the printing ministry and the other things that we have, and the other things that the other ministers have. But I'm going to try to convince the other ministers in this kingdom identity message, and I'm going to try to convince you people, and all of those who hear this, that whenever you give away tracts, and whenever you testify, and whenever you do whatever you do to testify to Jesus, be sure that a good percentage of that money and time is spent on young people. You know, if we leave them in the hands of the Antichrist, being taught the tradition of the elders, and the false teaching from the time they're little until they're 20 years old, my friends, the Word of God has already been made of none effect in them. And we come along and we preach to them and we wonder why they don't hear. Their hearing has already been impaired by what Jesus called the tradition of the elders, and he identified it as the teachings of the Jewish Pharisees. Now, many of the people in Christendom, of course, do not know, and that is up to us to help teach them, that the origin of the teachings which nullify God's Word is the Jews. It is from the Jewish Pharisees. We have our Christian people hiring Jews to teach in their churches. They hire Jews to teach in all of their colleges and universities. And they have Jews that make all these television programs and all these movies. They write most of the magazines. They even write many of the books which are sold in the Christian bookstores. And their Antichrist deception is so subtle that they present it as the truth, and many people believe it because they think it is the truth and it's not, it's a lie. Jesus said everything that they would do would be a lie. Let's go back to this Mark 1 again, this Elijah message. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. And this was fulfilled at the first advent. John the Baptist came and prepared the way of Jesus. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Then turn back to Malachi chapter 4, because here is what he was referring to. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. We know that was partially fulfilled in John the Baptist. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. In other words, there is going to have to be a reconciling, not a division between the young and the old, but a reconciling of God's people in Israel, the young people and the children also believing the truth that their parents believe, and all of us believing the truth our fathers believed, because Christianity is the religion of the fathers in Israel. Jesus came to Israel. He was the truth. He came to our fathers 2,000 years ago in the same manner that He came to our fathers in Egypt and brought them out of there. There is only one true religion, Christianity, the gospel of the kingdom. And along with that, of course, it means that we who have been given enlightenment and understanding in the Word of God and in this message have a responsibility to take our talents and our time and our energy and our money and use it to do what? Teach the young people in Israel so the Antichrist cannot use the tradition of the elders and make the Word of God in effect. Apparently, they are most successful, and if we are to believe Jesus' own words, they are very successful among the young people in Israel. They go to the young people and they say, you don't have to worry about what your parents do or believe. You come to this and then you're free. And of course, that word freedom and liberty, that's what they use on our young people. They supposedly will become uninhibited and free if they turn away from the religion of Christianity, the religion of their father. So we have three things to do. Number one, teach the truth of Jesus' words, because after all, there is no other truth except the words of Jesus Christ, the words of this Bible. Number two, expose the lies of the enemy. Expose the tradition of the elders and all of their propaganda for what it is. Lies against the people. Not just against God, but lies against the people. And that means to identify its source in the church or out as coming from the Jewish Pharisees. They're the only people in the Bible that Jesus Christ accused of having a lie so deadly and dark that it would prevent Israel from believing in Christ. Nothing else is important than these things. Expose the lies of the enemy. And of course, that means teaching the truth of our identity as Israel and teaching the truth of the identity of the Jews as the children of the devil and the enemies of Israel and the enemies of Christ. And teaching the Bible, not teaching a few words, because they come, as you know, with the Bible. They say, oh, God is our Father. We do believe in God, it's just that we don't accept this Jesus. No, Jesus is this Word, and this Word is Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Everyone who does not accept Jesus the Christ as the Son of God and the Savior of the world is Antichrist. That's what the Bible says. And at the time we believe that, and I pray that all of you and all of those of us who have been given the ministry of preaching God's Word will begin this year and the years to follow with a tremendous increasing emphasis on teaching this truth to young people. So you pray about it, you act upon it, you pray for the ministers, that we can come up with programs and ideas and efforts and tracks and printing and radio broadcasts and whatever to reach the young people in Israel with the truth, because Jesus Christ said, those who are of the truth will believe it. But He warned us that the Jewish Pharisees with the tradition of the elders can deny the Word of God if they get to the young people before we do. We know what we must do now. Let's pray. Jesus is coming. We know that. Let's pray that we will make His paths straight, plain, truth, before He comes, that He may come and receive the kingdom. Let's stand. Our Father and our God, we thank You for this evidence in Thy Word that Your truth is all-powerful, that if preached to this Thy people, they will believe. Father, we pray that You'll help us to be Thy witnesses, Thy sons and daughters, the preachers and carriers, the feet and the hands and the arms and the mouth of Thy Word that will carry it to the young people in Israel. We ask your blessing upon it in Jesus' name. Amen.